Good to be out with everyone again this morning. Good to be in God's house. And you know, as the song she sung says, He will go before us. He don't ever leave us. He's there with us to guide and direct our paths as we walk through this life. There are times, brothers and sisters, that we need Him more than ever. And these are one of those days. This is this day and age we live in. And so just beware of that. I say this quite often, and I don't say it lightly. The Bible says it will wax worse and worse. And I keep telling you that, and I know you understand this, but I keep telling it to you because I want you to remember, as you see stuff happening in this life, as you see things come against the church, and as you see things come against this country, as you see things come against our powers and the people that are in place, the Bible says that it will wax worse and worse. But one of these days, He's come to take us out of this. And praise His name, just be ready. Ready to go. I want to say something this morning before I get. I'm going to be over in Jude. And if you don't know where Jude's at, and I say that, I'm probably talking to the choir. Go to Revelations, it's the next book back. When I first heard about the book of Jude, back when I was a young Christian, and I love the book of Jude, I thought it was in the Old Testament. I was flipping back through the Old Testament. I was like, Jude? I said, I never heard that. It's in the New Testament. So just there, we're going to be Jude. I'm going to read one verse. How many of you watched Calvin Evans this morning? I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. The thing that we went retro on us this morning. Calvin Evans, actually, they brought one of his sermons back to preach, and it was awesome. I'll just be quite honest with you. If you haven't heard it, you need to get out there and find it. But it was awesome. He was talking about storms. But one of the stories that he talked about whenever he was talking about it was 9/11. And he talked about this lady who was trapped. She's the last one that they got out of the wreckage. She's the last one alive. So I went out after he was done and I looked up the story. So I dug into it a little more. This lady was from Trinidad. And she had been over here and she had become a citizen and she was working in the Twin Towers. And after the plane had hit, she was trying to get out with her friends, and she was holding on to hands. You know how they held on to hands to try to get out? Well, her heels were bothering her. She couldn't get out of there fast. So she stopped just for a second to take her heels off. And after she did, the lady ahead of her had already released her hands, and that's when everything collapsed. The stairwell and everything, just like pancakes. Boom, boom, boom. The concrete floors come down on top of one another. And she was trapped. And when she was trapped in there, she said, everything went dark. She said she could hear noise for a little bit. Then it was quiet. You couldn't hear nothing. She couldn't see anything. She had a watch on. She couldn't even see. She said the dust and the dark and everything was so bad. She lost track of time. And she said a day and a half later, she tried to knock the door, but it was a day and a half later, she heard somebody yelling, is there anybody here? And she said, she took the dust, and with her hand, her legs were trapped. She took the dust with her arms and reached through a crack, and a hand grabbed it and said, I got you. Isn't that like Jesus? Isn't that like God? Isn't that just like Him? I don't know of anybody what you're at here this morning. But can I tell you with all that's in me, if you're so low, don't give up. Reach through that crack. And He will be there to get a hold of that hand. He'll be there. And they said that they got her out of there. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, just like with Peter, when Peter was sinking, Lord help me, I'm sinking. Jesus reached down and picked him up. I'm telling you, that's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of love that He has for us through the storms that are in this life. It broke my heart to listen to that. And if you're like me, I have heard so much stuff down through the years that I want to make sure that it's true. And I go out and I check on things. What I tell you, I try to check on. I don't try to just give you stuff. I want to preach this morning on defending the essentials of the Christian truth. I'm going to start on that. I'm starting down this path this morning. I don't know how long many sermons I'm going to do on this. But I'm going to start on, I want you to know whenever we're done, I want you to be able to say that I can defend the Christian truth. I believe the Christian faith can be known, and I believe the Christian faith can be defended. I don't think we have to apologize. I don't think we have to back down. I believe that we can defend the Christian faith, and I believe we can defend it wholly. Jude 3, if you would stand if you're there. One little verse. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. If you don't have earnestly contend highlighted in your Bibles, you need to highlight it because it is important. We need to earnestly contend for the faith. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the ones that are gathered here this morning. Father, I ask you, Lord, to go with each and every individual. Open up the hearts. Open up our minds here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that we could take the scripture this morning, that we could take the word, and Lord, that we can contend. Earnestly contend for it, Lord. And Father, that through your love and mercy and through you showing us and guiding us, we can do this. And we will give you the praise and we ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. And amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Whenever I said that, you can know the Christian faith and that you can defend it, you may be thinking to yourself, well, you know, that Dave, that, there's... I, you know, like I said, maybe preaching to the choir, and you'll be thinking, well, yeah, that's right. You know, they may be calling and thinking of me as Captain Obvious. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you know what? Let me dig a little deeper into it as we go into this. You know, not too many years ago, and you folks know this, that you would have no problem saying anything about the Christian faith, or you wouldn't have any problem about talking about it, because you know what? Not too many years ago, people listened to you. They had respect for the Christian faith. They had respect for preachers. They had respect for ministers. They had respect for churches. They had respect. And that, as it is with a lot of institutions down through the years, though, that has lost its zeal. Whether it be law enforcement, whether it be political realm, whether it be the media, respect is going out the window. And that is the same as it has done for the Christian faith. Now, mind you, I believe that a lot of the criticism that Christians have gotten, a lot of the cynicism and a lot of the lack of respect has been self-inflicted. It has been self-inflicted, especially when it comes to the church realm. You know, most of us today remember the 80s, and I've said this before. We remember what happened with the Jimmy Swagger thing. We remember what happened to the PTL club, and I could just go on and on, but we remember that. And I can remember back then as a young Christian, you know, as a young family, having a young family and seeing all this stuff happen and then just listening to the people around me that weren't Christians and even some of them that were Christians talk about this stuff. But even up to recently, I know I've talked to you about recently about the Jerry Falwell Jr. situation and also Joe Osteen and Kenneth Copeland and the Catholic Church and all the things and all the controversies that a lot of these people have been caught up in. And brother said, doesn't it make it hard to contend for the Christian faith when you're dealing with that? Yes, it has. I'll be blunt. So defending the Christian truth has become more of a challenge to his people. Now, I'm going to go over a little synopsis this morning. I'm going to get into the meat of what I want to talk to in upcoming sermons about this. But one of the things that makes it more challenging is we live in a day where truth is subjective. And I think I've gone over this before. It is what I feel. It is what I perceive. It is based on my stories and my experiences. And for you and I to say that this is wrong or that is right in today's modern concept of things does not go over very well. And you know that because Some may say, well, Belinda may say, well, you've never experienced what I experienced, so you don't know what's right and wrong. You don't know that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, and I'm going to get into this with sola scriptura. I want you to remember that. Sola scriptura. And I'm going to explain that here in just a little bit. But that is important to what we're going to talk about this morning. When it comes to within Christendom, can bring challenges and it can bring conflicts whenever we get into this. And add to that, you have denominations, you have churches saying that they have the right to determine what the Christian faith should or should not be. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, if a preacher or a teacher or a denomination or a church stands up and tells you that they have the right to determine what is right and wrong, they are wrong. They are wrong. We don't. I don't. For me to stand up here and say that is not right, I have to go by what this word says. So with all the muck and the mire that's being stirred up out there today, with all that, you can see where contending for the faith is going to be hard. It can be hard, and may I add, it gets harder the closer we come to Jesus coming back. As I said, listen, it will wax worse and worse. And may I add to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, you are on the front line. You are the one that's going to have to spread the gospel. You're the one that's going to have to contend for the faith. So no matter what has happened in the past, I don't care what's happened to Jimmy Swaggart in the past. I don't care what happened to the PTL club in the past. I don't care what happens to Jerry Falwell Jr. today. I don't care what happens to the preacher over in Ravenswood or the one up in Parkersburg or the teacher here or this one here. I don't care about any of that. My main concern is, brothers and sisters, that you contend for the faith and are able to stand and have a backbone to stand for the Lord. And no matter what has happened in the past, the future, brothers and sisters, will be on what the truth is. Jude tells us, beloved, I have given all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you, exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And as I read last week, those brothers and sisters in Acts contended for the faith. They lost their lives for it. Some were beheaded. Some were put up and crucified upside down. Others were, they said, were filleted. And it's filleted like you would fillet a fish. All this stuff happened to those people because they earnestly contended for the faith. So for you and I to think that our faith and our beliefs will never be challenged, we're living in a dream world. We're living in a dream world because one day, somehow, some way, your faith, what you believe, is going to be challenged if it hasn't already. Jamie, me and you both know, my faith's been challenged down through the years. I've worked in public works. My faith has been challenged. People have come and said things and snide little remarks and said things. And listen, they went into the public square. Our public square today is totally different. But you know, you're going to be talked about. You're going to be slandered. You're going to be gossiped about. And people will vilify you for being a Christian. Folks, this is my opinion. Most of the 21st century modern evangelifishes, I hope you get that. You'll get it later if you're on your way home, don't want to endure any kind of challenges nowadays. They don't want to be talked about. They don't want to be, they don't want that. They're afraid if somebody would question their salvation. They're afraid if somebody would come against them. Not alone what hardships the early church had. I'm pointing to myself. Could I endure what they endured? Could I endure seeing them stand my children up and telling them you either denounce Christ or we're going to kill you? Listen, those people earnestly contended for the faith. You better thank God that we are here today because they earnestly contended for the faith. They did the same thing to the early church. They did the same thing to the apostles. They did the same thing to Jesus. And even worse, as I read last week, the Bible tells us, Peter and the other apostles said this when they were told not to preach about Jesus. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Well, I hope we got the backbone to do that today. Not everyone would like that you're a Christian. Jesus said this one time in Luke 6 in the Sermon on the Plain. You do realize there was a Sermon on the Mount and a Sermon on the Plain. Read it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your names as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Behold, your reward will be what? It'll be great in heaven. He told them that. And you know what? That still holds true today. Oh, let them say little bad things about us. Let them say, oh, look at them Christians. Look at them hypocrites over there. And we think that we're being talked bad about? No way. No way. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. That does not give us any reason to act like jerks. Now, you understand this. Listen, yeah, I'm not going to go out here and act like some kind of jerk just and say, well, they're talking bad about me. That must make me okay. No. We're supposed to do this thing in love. I'll just give them reason to speak good to me. No, that's what Jesus means. He's saying just by telling the world that Jesus is the only way, just by living a godly life in front of people, people will talk, people will not like you. And I have found that out. We have the same message. We have the same spirit, right? We have the same word of God that they had. And even though Jesus died for us, he died for them. So what is wrong if we have more ways to spread the gospel today than any other generation today? I remember when I had a bag phone in my car. Most of you don't even know what a bag phone is. It was a cell phone. It was in a bag. And you could only get it in Parkersburg. That's where service was. That's where service was. We had it for a little bit. So listen, our public square can be anywhere. I can go on my cell phone, and you can too, and you could punch a button on there, and you could talk to 100 to 1,000 people at one time. That's our public square. Or you can go on your computer, and you can click a mouse, and it could be the same way. This is our public square today. This is it. Brothers, yet there are times we hold back with just the simple message of the gospel. I'm not talking about all these other issues out here. I'm talking about sometimes we even hold back in telling them that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he died that you can have salvation. The simple message of the gospel. Yet there are times we hold back. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. Guess what? Guess what we fall in? We're Greeks. Whether we believe it or not, we're Greeks. Folks, if we see a world going to hell in a handbasket, if we see a world doing that and we fail to warn them, if blood is on our hands. It is on our heads. So in this day and age of the public square, we can contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can stand up and we can tell the world that Jesus is the only way. And if we don't do that, what is our ultimate goal? What is our ultimate goal? Just for us, just to make it? I want my family to make it. I want your family to make it. I want my neighbor to make it. I want people around me, my folks, the people I work with, I want them all to make it. And I hope that is your goal as well. That should be our ultimate goal. The Bible says this, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. That's what the Bible says. For all of us were transformed with the Spirit working on us. I remember this, the Spirit of God working on my heart, working on making it soft. Then I heard the Word of God and it took root, and praise His name, I got saved. And so this God, so everybody out there, that's the gospel. That's what He wants to do for everybody. That's how He wants to transform us. That's how we are saved. That's how we should go into this world, and that's how we should preach and teach it and testify the gospel, because we can defend it. I can defend that. I can defend that. We can declare that the message of salvation, the message, the truth, not one of many truths, but it is the truth. That is the message of the gospel. That's the message of the Word of God. We can stand. These are the points I'm going to cover here in the next few weeks. We can stand on the supremacy and the truth of the God of the Word of God. We can stand on the supremacy and the truth of the Trinity. Amen. We can stand on the supremacy and the truth of faith. We can stand on that. And we should be willing to stand and make a stand for those things, because those things are biblical. Those things are Word of God. Those things are what we should be willing to stand for. Listen, and if we lose the concept of who Jesus is and the things that we can stand on, all that we are doing is worshiping an idol. That's it. That's all we're doing. Number one. We're going to remember the word sola scriptura. S-O-L-A, you can write it down, S-C-R-I-P-T-U-R-A, and what it means, because it's important. It's important to what we're going to study. What it means is by Scripture alone. That's what that word means, by Scripture alone. The Bible is the sole infallible source of authority for a Christian's life. Amen. The Bible is the sole infallible source of authority for the Christian faith and for practice. That is what that means. And that is what I believe the Bible teaches. It is the test of what you and I know that is actually true. That's what it's saying. Listen, brother, it is what you and I stand upon, what we believe is truth, should come right from here. Right from there. And I can tell you, it'll hold the truth. Does the Spirit guide us? Yes, the Spirit guide us. But you know what the Spirit will not do? It will not override this. I believe in the Spirit of God. You know I preach about it a good bit. But the Spirit of God does not overrule the authority of God's written Word. It will not do it. So the revelation from God is a standard that is the revelation to His people. That is through His Word. God's Word and how it is a standard is supreme, started back in Genesis 3. The first three chapters. That's where it started. Now listen to this. Remember when God told what He told Adam and Eve? He said this, you can do this, but you're not to do this. And if you do this, this is what's going to happen. You will surely die. That's God's Word. That's what God told them. God didn't appeal to some external authority. It was God actually talking to Adam and Eve and telling them this. He didn't say, if some other denomination or some other preacher or teacher or some other commentary teaches you something different, you'll be fine. No, God said, if you do this, He said, you'll be all right. But if you don't do this, you will die. That's God's Word. That's the authority of His Word. It started in Genesis. He didn't say, well, if your culture changes. He didn't say, well, if your government changes or recommends it, or if your government says this. He didn't say that. He said, God said, if you do this, this will happen. He simply tells our first parents, Adam and Eve, that's everybody in here's first parents, He simply tells them, this will happen, and the day you do it, you shall surely die. What happened back then is the same thing that's happening today. Listen, Eve was confronted by Satan, She was confronted by Satan, and the first thing that he did, he questioned God's authoritative word. Do you not think Satan's not doing that today? Do you not think the people are not doing that today? That's what they're doing today. Listen, you have God's word. You have you and you have God's word. There's two different things, as Paul stated. You may think that it's a devil and you may think it's an angel on one shoulder and one of the other. You may think what Jamie says, it's the big dog or the white dog and the black dog. Whatever it may be, brother and sister, what it comes down to is there are two lanes we can travel in. There's two lanes. We can either stand upon God's word, the authoritative word of God, or we can listen to our own selves, or we can listen to man. Brother and sister, that's not what God said. God wants us to stand upon his word. He questioned God, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Aren't they doing that today? Aren't they trying to tell us today that, you know what, you are the one that can judge between good and evil. You don't need the church. You don't need God. You don't need Jesus. You don't need you can judge between what is good and evil. It's the same old, same old. The devil started it back then, and it's right up to this point today. So what you had in the garden was God said and Satan said. What you did, two opposing voices. All conflicts come down to two opposite voices. That's where everything comes down to, is these two opposite voices. God says, and you say. Right? Let me lay something out to you this morning. Have you ever thought about this? What about the motives? Adam and Eve's story is this way. Let's just say Eve would have said, no, Satan, I don't want to eat of that fruit because, you know, I just don't like the looks of it. I'm not going to eat of it. Or maybe what if Eve said, well, Lord, you know what? I think it might make me fat. But Eve didn't eat of it, right? She didn't eat. Was she right? Uh-uh. Thus saith the word of God. The motive. Thus saith the word of God. What she should have done, which we know she didn't. She said, no, God said not for me not to do this. The word of God says for us not. If Eve would have said no to the serpent, but she didn't eat it. Brother says, I'm here to tell you. I was just thinking about this. I know, I go down a rabbit hole. God, please forgive me. But I think about stuff like that. Brother, sister, it's the motive behind it. Would she have been right? No, she wasn't doing it because thus saith the word of God. She was making up things not to do because of her own self-will, because of what she thought. That's why I'm saying the word of God is all authoritative. It's where we should get our yeses and our noes from. It should be where we get the standard that we live by should be right here. I hope you get my point this morning on this. The sola scriptura, the standard by always God wants us to live by, is his word. The standard. That's why I'm not going to do it, because the world says it's bad for me. The world says this, the world says that, or they say this. Or that. No, I'm going to not do it because God said not to. That's why. That's obedience. What's the Bible say about obedience? Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what it says. Obedience is better. That's why I believe the supremacy and the truth of the Bible started back in Genesis. That's why I believe that the Word is the most important thing for you and I to get into and to read. For God said, every day of our life, you'll be faced with two different voices. That's when the voices that you need to choose. That's when you need to choose. Parents and grandparents, there will come challenges to us. How you raise your kids and how you raise your grandkids goes back to this right here. Right here, how we do it. This is how we should base how we raise our kids and our grandkids. Not about what some doctor says or what some psychiatrist says or what this says. We should listen to the Word of God. Sola Scriptura, not what the world pushes down our throat, not what others may say is the truth. But thus saith the word of God. Not because we want our kids or grandkids to be good citizens. We do. Not just because of that. But because the Word is at the forefront of their lives. That's why. I'm just telling you, there is a time and a place. Solar Scriptura. God's Word is the authoritative end all of everything that it should be for a Christian's life. Look at we look at that ethical reality today and we see that it's not being put into place. What's a moral high ground and stuff like this? Kids, you know, listen to me, bro. And I want godly, believing parents teaching their kids that they should be respectful and honor God's Word. And whenever they do that, they will honor their parents. They will be good citizens. They will be all these things. Because praise God, I'm here to tell you this morning, because God's Word needs to be at the forefront of it. And when Jesus was faced with temptation, what did He do? 40 days and 40 nights of being fasted. He didn't call the disciples for advice. He didn't grab a commentary written by Adrian Rogers or John Hagee or Oliver B. Green. He didn't grab one from Vernon McGee. He didn't grab any of those commentaries. Believe me, I got all those. That's why I'm using those. He didn't grab those. He got online. He didn't get online and search the Scriptures. Jesus didn't go and grab up a sermon somewhere. He didn't go to the church and grab a rabbi. It says that Jesus used the Word. And may I tell you this morning, when you are being tested, when you are being tempted, and those two voices are coming at you, remember, God's Word or your voice or the devil or whatever you want to say, you go with God's Word. It is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. What happened? The devil leaveth him. That's what it says. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, when the black dog is trying to override the white dog, brothers and sisters, you go for the white dog. You go for the Word of God. You go for that. You cannot have the ultimate. You cannot have two ultimate authorities in your life. It's too many people love to try, and they love to try and ride the fence and say, well, you know what, God? I believe what the Word says, but you know what? In this circumstance right here, I'll just take and do what God wants. I'll just do what I want to do because I believe it's what's right. That is not how it works. God's Word is either true and authoritative or it is not. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Not only does this hold true in our lives, it holds true in the church. Our church, listen to me, our church says, or our pastor says, or this person says, or our church believes, or our pastor believes. No, it's what the Word of God says. It's what we should stand upon and what we believe. That's where the final authority is. The doctrine of the supremacy of the Word. We can stand upon that this morning. When we go out into this world, we can stand on that and we can tell people, I believe in the full authority and sovereignty of God's Word. Because it is God's Word and we believe that it is. It can be used in every area of your life. God's Word, as I stated last week, it transcends authority. It transcends all. We can stand up for what absolutely, but to do what we need to know in God's Word, we can find it right here. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me shall find me. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All you need to walk through this life is thoroughly furnished right here. That's what that says. That's all we need. But you know what? The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Defending the essential truth that the scripture is what is almighty, what is all in all, that is essential. And we can stand upon that. And I'm going to get into more of the word here. I just want to do a little overview of what I believe. I'll get into more why I believe the Word of God is the truth. Why I believe that the Trinity is the truth. Why I believe that our faith is the truth. And we can stand and we can contend for all this. I watched a sermon here. It's been a while back. And these guys went out into Salt Lake City, Utah. Went right down into the street. And they talked to Mormons. That's what they did. And they stood there and they talked, and they talked to bunches of them. And they contended for the faith. They didn't argue with them. They, matter of fact, if you watch the video, they were very cordial and very nice, but they said, "This is the truth." And brothers and sisters, are we able to stand if the Mormons come knocking on our door? Are you able to stand if the Jehovah Witnesses come knocking on your door? What about when you face other denominations that come with their things that sometimes are not quite what we believe the Bible says? Are we able to stand and know the Word of God and the truth of it and say, "Listen, this is what thus saith the Word of God"? That's standing on the authoritative truth of God, God's Word. That's it right there. Defending the essentials. Brothers and sisters, I want us to be able to do that here in the upcoming weeks. And Lord willing, as we get back into this here, the upcoming weeks, we're going to get back into it a little more. But pray God, pray that the Lord would give me the wisdom, because I want to be able to teach it in a way that's understanding. I want that. I want to be able to way to preach it in a way that people will understand it. Because that's what needs to be done. Praise His name. They come get a song this morning.